Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Governor David Paterson is here now for a few minutes, fresh from leading the charge for the federal bailout of AIG. Governors, congratulations, too strong a word, since you were on the front lines of fighting for this?
Well, Brian, I never thought that I, who had always talked about corporate welfare, would ever be part of this kind of arrangement. But my conscience is clear. I really believe that had we not intervened, the AIG has tentacles in so many different businesses. It affects credit around the country, hedge funds, and on the lower frequencies, the homeowner, the driver, the passenger, the life insured person. There were so many different aspects, and their different holdings and assets were so interwoven like a tangled fishing line that we had to take some action, and had we not, I think the ramifications were unpredictable.
How hard was this behind the scenes? The Bush administration is not naturally inclined toward bailouts either. Were you in negotiations over specifics?
Yes. The administration put their foot down to Lehman Brothers Holdings this weekend. Lehman Brothers Holdings was in negotiation with Barclays. The Federal Reserve helped considerably. They widened the collateral and the equity to try to assist them. But it was kind of like peeling back an onion and then finding how spoiled it is. The more they worked on it, the more trouble they found. Finally, at a point, Lehman Brothers gave up. Barclays gave up. And as you saw, in the end, the part of Lehman Brothers they acquired, which is the core investment part, they got at a bargain basement rate. With AIG, exactly the same thing happened. If you remember, probably when you came on the air Monday morning, they said they needed $40 billion. By Tuesday night, it was $85
billion. Right.
So it was very hard for us to assess how much it would take to actually leverage AIG. And I don't think that there was any disingenuous conduct on the part of the leadership at AIG. It's just that these firms do not have a centralized booking system so that they can't tell you how much they owe because they have these processes, one known as credit deficit swaps. This is where they underwrite their own debt and then sell it, which is just, who thinks of things like this? These are all very alarming methods of finance that have been employed in a totally obscure environment, and nobody really understood or can predict how dangerous it is.
That's right. And since this is a global insurance market and a global credit default swap securities market and all of that stuff that most people are just hearing about for the first time, should insurance regulation be taken off the states' back so that you don't have to lead the charge for something like this if, God forbid, it comes around again and taken up by Washington?
I think that that is a very good idea because AIG was not just a New York concern. It has 116,000 employees around the world. It's in 130 countries. It has 74 million customers. So what we're talking about is something that even if you have national policy, it might not go all the way. There are just general accounting practices that were violated in this situation, and because And I think New York State's Insurance Department and its superintendent, Eric DiNello, did about as fine a job. And Secretary Paulson and the local CEO of New York's Federal Reserve, Tim Geithner, couldn't say enough about our insurance department. But at the same time, it's hard for them to be aware of what goes on in other parts of the country.
Governor David Paterson, my guest on WNYC, after leading the charge for the federal bailout of AIG. Did you do this because New York was at special risk? And how much more risk than anywhere else?
Well, Brian, 20% of New York's revenues come from Wall Street. So every time you hear Wall Street's having a bad day, just know New York is having a worse day. We might have lost $1 billion just in the collapse, even after these sort of remedial measures that have been taken in the last 24 hours. Because of that, I would think we've already lost 11,000 jobs in financial services since last year. That will probably double. Every time Wall Street's bonuses go down 10%, or Wall Street's capital gains fall by 10%, we lose $750 million. Right now, on the books, Wall Street's bonuses are projected to be down about 24%, and the capital gains are projected to be down about 25%. I believe that both of them will hit 40%. Therefore, I think that we will be $2,250,000 short of where we would have projected we would have been. Now, fortunately, I made a televised address to the residents of the state on July 31st. The legislators came back to Albany, and they knocked about half of that off. So we're in much better shape than we would have been. And it was difficult for the legislators. A lot of them have elections this year, and it was summer, but they came back and they did it. And they did a fine job. And what you might have noticed is a little culture change in Albany. Three of the four legislative leaders volunteered to come back right now if necessary. And we'll take a look at the economic forecast next week and project whether or not we need them. But we won't have to have any more squabbles about whether or not our economy is in dire position.
You know, an irony of hard times is that as state and city governments lose revenue, they are also being asked for more services for more unemployed and otherwise struggling people, as you well know. What's government's obligation as you see it in these times?
Well, I think government has to have an obligation to people who, listen, they weren't trading credit deficit swaps, and they weren't collateralizing assets from the wrong areas to post in the marketplace and take and get immediate liquidation and cash and then start spending it all over the place. They didn't do those things. This is not a case of helping people who should have helped themselves. In fact, if we did that, we just did that with AIG and the Federal Reserve basically did that with Bear Stearns. What I think we have to understand is that on the lower frequencies, there's far less fault on the part of people who we're going to try to help. We sent our labor commissioner, Patricia Smith, along with New Jersey's labor commissioner, David Sokolow, to Lehman Brothers on Monday to sign people up for unemployment and tell them about some of the retraining programs we have to help some of these individuals get into other areas. I think when people lost their jobs because they just weren't good at their jobs, that's their problem. But we're talking about innocent victims of what has been an orgy of greed that we've seen in the marketplace.
So
and it's not everybody, but it's too many people.
Do you have to revisit the question of taxes then? Because Senate Majority Leader Dean Skelos is out today saying no tax hike, no way, to balance this ballooning New York State budget deficit as a result of this crisis. Is that your own position too?
Yes. My position is that we have misused our taxes in the past. We've had these kinds of deficits. We taxed people. But think about it, Brian, from June 1990 to June 1998, the Dow Jones average quadrupled. It went from 2,500 to 10,000 in that period of time. There was money all over the place. Why was New York State's budget in deficit 5 of the 8 years? Why is that? Because we overspend. And we're going to have to tighten our belts. Now, if we tighten our belts adequately and show the public that we're not afraid to do that, if the marketplace, which has nothing to do with New York State, continues to fall, then it's something we might want to look at. But what I'm trying to get people out of is this culture of shrill response to every question. In other words, I think if we had a $50 billion budget deficit, there's some people who would say, no taxes. Just no taxes, like automatically, like Pavlovian. And you also have people who, if we had a $50 billion budget deficit, would come to Albany and start putting ads on the radio and in the newspapers about how, you know, the government is killing your children, these absurd kind of pedestrian responses to serious problems. So I think that all options are on the table, but my preference is that we learn the spending part of the game before we start raising more revenues. Because actually, even this year, Brian, our revenues, even with all our problems, are up 8.3%. Our spending is up 10.9%. That's the problem.
Governor, we have a comment on our website who wants to know if you have a reaction to the outgoing CEO of AIG apparently being in line for like a $9 million golden parachute as he leaves this job in disgrace.
First of all, the gentleman wasn't there that long. And, I mean, it shouldn't be allowed to happen. And the federal government has 79.9% of the assets. So they're going to have to run this by the Fed but before this happens. And I encourage them not to let something like that happen. I mean, fair compensation for the work, but the same way, on the lower frequencies, people are walking around looking for jobs today who were working at Merrill Lynch and Lehman Brothers last week. They made a sacrifice. He can make one, too.
It could be, he would probably argue, a simple matter of honoring his contract. There it is in black and white.
Well, you know, that would be a legal determination, and I would hope that we find out the answer to it, because certainly I don't think we should be misapplying legal standards based on how much money someone has or the type of job they had. I mean, if he had a contract, he had a contract. But the fact is that in this kind of situation, maybe they could negotiate with him, and, you know, I would just... You know, it's sickening when you heard about Merrill Lynch failing and somebody gets a $175 million buyout to leave. And what did they get the buyout for? Because they failed. And maybe the problem is the way they execute the contracts in the first place. Maybe they should be more performance-based. I don't know the answer, but I'm just saying it shouldn't be allowed to happen.
Governor, we have about 2 minutes left, and I know you got to go. Two things real quick. One, Barclays acquiring parts of Lehman Brothers now. Does this stave off the loss of 10,000 Wall Street jobs that we were talking about over the last 2 days?
It staves off a significant percentage of them that should make us pleased that they were able to put that deal together. But it also, fortunately, I think the fact that the head of Barclays always wanted to have a presence in the United States is also going to help, because I don't think we're going to see those jobs shipped overseas.
And now that you've gotten the federal government to do this with AIG, is there anything more you want in the short term from Washington?
Well, I would like Washington to assess the fact that New York State gets back $82.2 billion less than we pay to the federal government in taxes. This is the mantra that the late, great Senator Moynihan used to discuss. The second state, the one that gets back the second highest, loses the second most, is California at $50 billion. And they pay twice the taxes we do. New York State is really financing the rest of the country. The state of Arizona actually gets back $13.7 billion more than they put into the federal government.
Arizona, just to pick a random example.
Yeah, in Arizona, because... their senator is running for president right now. So I don't know why he's complaining about Washington. Washington was real good to his state. And New York is such an epicenter. It's the world financial capital and has always bailed out other states. So I'm not asking Washington for a handout. I'm asking them for a hand back.
Governor David Paterson, thank you so much for taking 15 minutes with us on this crazy day. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More in a minute. With Assemblyman Richard Brodsky, one house that's apparently doing pretty well through all this is the house that Ruth built, or its successor. And Assemblyman Brodsky thinks the taxpayers are getting cheated. Stay with us.